A very good morning to all. Glad you're here. Our guests, we're glad that you're here today with us. And it always is a joy to meet brethren from other parts of the state as well as other parts of the country. And it's good to see you. We have our prayer day coming up, not this coming Saturday, but the Saturday after. We are going to repeat what we tried a few months ago. It was very successful and a very great encouragement. We had many people participating in prayer for a number of things. Prayers can be for personal things as well as general church things and relationships and things like that. So it covers a wide spectrum of things. And if you want to participate, there is a sign-up list that's going to be developed, and prayer requests can be listed in a long listing for us. Gary, thank you for sharing that with us on the baptisms. You know, baptism is a joy to behold, isn't it? To see people make their decision to commit to and obey Jesus Christ, to get into Christ, to have their sins washed away, to have their sins remitted, to be born again. All of these things take place in baptism in water. But baptism is also an instructional thing. If a person is watching someone being baptized and they're not familiar, they may think, what is that? What are they doing? Why are they doing that? And it's a great opportunity for people to learn something of the gospel because of baptism is a repeat for an individual of the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ, and they enter into a new relationship with God through that baptism. So that is a joy to watch that kind of thing take place, especially when you have 10 be baptized within a few minutes of each other. We have good news this morning. The tomb is still empty. Amen. Our Lord Jesus Christ was raised from the dead, never to die again, and he died upon a cross, an atoning death, but death could not hold him. And he was raised from the dead, and he rules over the entire universe right now. And he rules over the church, rules over the earth for the sake of his church. Everything he does is for the blessing and advancement and the help of his church that he loves so dearly that he died for. Our sermon this morning is not about a Rolex or a Timex. You see the title? I don't even wear a watch, you know. I haven't worn a watch in 30-some years. I look at where the sun is in the sky. I guess I can figure it. Right? Do the same thing. We're going to talk about one little word that's found repeated in Scripture and make some observations about watching, about watch. Matthew 26, verses 40 and 41 is our text, and I want to read those words. He came to the disciples and found them sleeping, and said to Peter, "So, you men could not keep watch with me for 1 hour? Keep watching and praying, that you may not enter into temptation. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak." I heard someone say, the spirit is willing, but the flesh is plumb wore out. You know? And isn't that true? The flesh is weak. And they were so tired, they just couldn't stay awake at this time of Jesus' need. What does the word watch mean? It means to be wakeful, to be alive, to be awake, to be alert. And that's what he exhorts his disciples to do, and he tells the same thing to us. He wants his people, he wants his disciples, he wants his men and women to be alert to what is going on around them and what is going on inside of them. And we're going to spend a few minutes on this very theme. Of all people on earth, Christians should be the most observant, alert, discerning, and watchful people. You know, many people, maybe we could say almost most people, go through life half asleep, not paying attention to what's going on. But of all the people on earth, Christians, his church, should be the most observant, alert, wakeful of the things that are really going on around us and inside of themselves. I want to share three main ideas from this as we go through this little study. To help friends, be watchful, be alert, be awake to help others, to help friends. And why would I say that? You know, Jesus was God. He was God incarnate. But he laid aside some of the privileges of that so that he could experience what life was like. And he knew what life was like on this earth. He knew tiredness. He knew hunger, thirst. He knew what temptation was. He knew what it was to be pressured and to be stressed by so many different things that life has. I mean, isn't that what life is about? We face so many different things. There are wonderful good things. There are some things that are difficult and sometimes painful to deal with. And Jesus experienced these things. And as he's now facing what is called his hour, the passion hour, the hour of his passion, that is, he was going to go through a trial and through a cross and be treated so horribly, but he would die an atoning death for all mankind. And this hour was now upon him in the verses that we just read. How comforting it would have been if Peter, James, and John had stood by him with love as they saw the conditions. Now, Peter, James, and John were human, just like you and me, and most likely, if any of us had been there, it's likely that we would have fallen asleep too. So I'm not picking on Peter, James, and John because they're pretty much like us and we're like them. They just were not alert to what was going on. It's not that Jesus had not tried to teach them of what was happening, of what was going to happen. It was not that he didn't try to alert their minds to realities that were higher than they initially had understood. But they didn't see those things. You know, to watch, to be alert, to be wakeful, to be observant, sometimes involves looking at what's happening with others and noticing. Now, I think I've grown a little bit in this, but I still have a long ways to go. I see people sometimes notice something happening, a need that has developed in someone's life, and man, they pick up on it like that. And I think, why didn't I think of that? Why didn't I see that? Why didn't I observe that? Because friends and Christians around us, they may be discouraged, they may be depressed, they may be afraid or worried or ill, they might be in trouble of some sort, they might be lonely, they may not have a friend. And what you and I want to do as Christians, as brethren, is to be watching around us of our Christian friends, our Christian brethren. Now that doesn't mean we're not concerned about those outside of the body of Christ. We are. We want to be concerned about them as well. That's very important. But we're in a family. As Christ's church, we are a family of God in a locality. And it is God's intention that we look after each other and take care of each other in this wonderful family, because we really need it in a world that is oftentimes discouraging and depressing and does not help us in our struggle against sin. So we want to be observant and alert and awakeful and watch about what we can do for each other as Christian friends, as family, as fellow laborers in the kingdom. When we do this to help friends, we want to be alert to doing good. Paul wrote to the Galatians, "So then, while we have opportunity, let us do good to all people, especially to those who are of the household of faith." That's Galatians 6 and verse 10. He closes out that great epistle, Galatians, and he says, when you have opportunity, do good to all people, but especially pay attention to the household of faith, to the people of God, to those who are of the household of faith. pay close attention to what is needed within our body, within our fellowship. Now, this is already going on. I'm not saying this as though nobody's doing anything. That's not my point. I'm just reminding us of the word watch that our Lord uses here, and he wants us to be alert to these things because we need to take care of each other. Number two, to ready ourselves for judgment. To ready for judgment. Watch. Watch. Be alert to the reality of coming judgment. Now, 2 weeks ago when I spoke here, I spoke on the judge stands before the door. And I spent all of that study from the book of James on the reality of the coming day where the judge is standing at the door. Every day we should be thinking about the coming day of judgment. Not as a discouraging thing, but as a reality to spur us and to encourage us to watch and do those things to be ready for the judgment. There is a day of judgment coming, a real day of judgment. I mean, it's not metaphorical, it's not symbolic, it's real, and every person will stand before Jesus and have to give an account for their life before him. Now, if we're in Christ, we have nothing to fear. There is no condemnation. But we shall each give an account for our lives. So, we should watch to ready for judgment. Paul wrote to the Thessalonians in chapter 1, verse 10, he says, to wait for his son, or to watch for his son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, that is Jesus, who rescues us from the wrath to come. Now notice what he says. It doesn't say who will rescue you from the wrath to come, as though it's future. He is every day, as we wait for Jesus, as we walk our life of faith in Jesus, every day, at any given moment, he is in the process of rescuing us from the wrath to come. And he wants to tell us to wait or to watch for his son from heaven. This should be something that we think about, I would say, at least once a day. Every day would be a good thing to think about that Jesus is coming again as the judge of all mankind. And we want to be ready for that. We want to watch for that. The more we think or the more we watch for judgment day, the more we feel urgency in prayer and praying. Have you ever had prayer that was so urgent, so much of an emergency, so deeply held by you, that all you could do is just fall on your face and lie prostrate on the ground and pray to God because the intensity of your feelings, the intensity of your needs, the intensity of the issues you're facing cause you to just go to God with pleading. This is the idea of what we want to do in our prayers. Now, we don't pray all of our prayers spread out on the floor. That's not what I'm saying. But our prayers should have an urgency about them. Our prayers should have a seriousness about them that God really is listening to us. He really is hearing us. And he wants to hear from us, and he wants to answer our prayers. Prayer is sometimes a pleading. I want to read from Mark chapter 13, 33 through 37. Just listen closely to what takes place here. Mark 13, 33 to 37. Take heed, keep on the alert, for you do not know when the appointed time will come. It is like a man away on a journey who, upon leaving his house and putting his slaves in charge, assigning to each one his task, also commanded the doorkeeper to stay on the alert. Therefore, be on the alert, for you do not know when the master of the house is coming, whether in the evening, at midnight, or when the rooster crows, or in the morning. And in case he should come suddenly and find you asleep, I say to all, be on the alert. We live in a military area here. Military knows what it is to do your duty of being on watch, on call. And if you fall asleep during that period of time, you're in big trouble. If you're supposed to be alert because you are responsible, very likely, for the safety and security for a large area and a group of people. It was said that Alexander the Great, who was one of the great military minds that ever lived, had conquered vast areas of the planet. And there was a young man named Alexander who was supposed to be on guard all night and stay alert, stay awake. And he fell asleep, and Alexander the Great finds him sleeping, and he wakes the fellow up. Now, normally a guard, when they're found asleep, in those times, you get put to death. This fellow wakes up, and he asks him, "What's your name?" He says, "My name is Alexander." And he says, "Change your life or change your name." You know, be on the alert. Be awake to reality going on around us. When we pray, we're reaching up to our Father. Watch what is going on around us. What's going on around us? False belief systems, immorality, the breaking down of normal standards in society are being literally thrown in the trash can now. The most bizarre and unusual things are happening. Supposedly same-sex marriage. Any number of things like this are not things that the Bible subscribes to. And we're to look at the things going on around us and be aware and alert and awake and see reality of what's going on. There is hostility to truth. But then there's also the advance of the kingdom. As long as we keep preaching the kingdom, preaching the gospel, preaching Jesus Christ, and just keep saturating an area, then people will hear and listen and obey that gospel. Not all will, but some definitely will. And we just have to keep on keeping on doing that. Number three on our outline. Be alert, be awake, be observant, be watchful to understand ourselves. It will awaken us out of slumber and laziness. Jesus said this in John chapter 9 and verse 4, "We must work the works of him who sent me as long as it is day. The night is coming when no one can work." In other words, daytime. We want to work during the day. The time is coming when there will no longer be the ability or the opportunity to work. So we want to throw all of our efforts into this watchful time of being alert, awake, and watchful. We've been given work to do. I read from Mark chapter 13 a moment ago. Let me read one of those verses again. Listen closely. "It is like a man away on a journey who, upon leaving his house and putting his slaves in charge, assigning to each one his task, also commanded the doorkeeper to stay on the alert." The master is gone for a period of time. He is returning one day, and he will see and examine how we have handled what he has given us to do. Be aware of, in yourself, of the things that can be done. This is kind of related to the first point, but I want to read from Titus chapter 3 and verse 3. Titus, the young preacher, is instructed by Paul, and he tells him this: "Remind them," speaking of the members of the church that Titus was preaching for, "remind them to be subject to rulers, to authorities, to be obedient," and then listen, "to be ready for every good work." As we examine ourselves, our ability to recognize what is good and our ability to step in and help and do things that are good for others will increase. Think about it. When you were baptized into Christ, however, 5, 10, 15, 20, 30 years ago, your perception of things going on was different then than it is now. You can see and understand things about yourself that you couldn't see back then. That's the growth process. That's sanctification. And you can see good works that can be done that back then you couldn't see. You couldn't see. That's one of the wonderful things about the gospel, the Word of God, is it helps us to see ourselves. When we're watchful like this, we understand ourselves better. Others are asleep, but we must be awake. 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse 6. So then, let us not sleep as others do, but let us be alert and sober. Am I doing self-examinations? Am I looking at myself and watching what is going on inside of me? Sometimes it can be difficult and unpleasant to see something in ourselves that needs changing, that needs to be cast off, needs to be thrown away out of our lives, and we may not want to do it that much. Our age that we live in is one of drowsiness. Now, how do people get drowsy? They can do it through any number of things: drugs, alcohol, sex, pornography, partying, entertainment, all kinds of things. Things that tend to anesthetize. They put us to sleep. They make us drowsy as to what's going on around us as well as what's going on inside. Watch ourselves. Watch ourselves. Am I an unforgiving person? Am I prejudiced? Am I envious? Am I jealous? Am I covetous? Am I judgmental? Am I a complainer? Am I critical? Am I lustful? The list goes on and on and on. Watch in ourselves for things that can endanger our relationship to our Lord Jesus Christ. Look at ourselves honestly and truthfully as to what's going on inside. Because the fact is, whether you're a new Christian or you've been in Christ for 50 years, we are all still struggling with temptation and with sin. There's no Christian who has reached a point where they have risen above it all. We are all still struggling with the realities of sin in us. I know I am, and I hate it. I hate not having achieved what I want in Christ, but I'm going to keep on trying. I'm going to keep on asking for His help, and I know you will too. So stay aware of what's inside. Self-examination is important. And ask yourself those questions. Am I unforgiving or prejudiced or envious, jealous, covetous, judgmental? Am I a complainer? Am I critical? Am I lustful? Am I hateful? Anything like that. We don't want to do that. I want to read from Romans chapter 13 and Paul's words to the church at Rome. Again, listen closely to what Paul says. Romans 13, 11 through 14. Do this, knowing the time, that it is already the hour for you to awaken from sleep. For now salvation is nearer to us than when we believed. The night is almost gone, and the day is near. Therefore, let us lay aside the deeds of darkness and put on the armor of light. Let us behave properly as in the day, not in carousing and drunkenness, not in sexual promiscuity and sensuality, not in strife and jealousy, but put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh in regard to its lusts. You know what he's saying in those verses? Wake up, clean up, dress up. Verses 11 and 12, wake up. Verse 13, dress up or clean up, and then verse 14, dress up. Wake up, clean up, dress up. Verses 11 through 14 from Romans chapter 30. There's a little three-point sermon that you can carry with you in your pocket, you know. Beautiful lesson that Paul gives us there. So, what are we saying here? Don't go to sleep. Stay morally, mentally, spiritually, intellectually, in every way. Stay alert and watchful and awake. Because the Lord is coming one day. I want to read one more verse and then we will close. This is the Lord Jesus speaking to the church in Revelation 3 and verse 3. Remember therefore how thou hast received and heard, and hold fast, and repent. If therefore thou shalt not watch, I will come on thee as a thief, and thou shalt not know what hour I will come upon thee. Be alert. Be awake. Be aware. To help others, to help friends, to be ready for judgment, and to understand ourselves. If you need to be baptized into Christ, immersed in water for the remission of your sins, we can assist you in that. If you will turn from your sins, if you believe in Jesus Christ as the Son of God, and you will turn from your sins, and you'll be baptized in water, immersed in water for the remission of sins, where you rise up out of that water to walk in newness of life, God will add you to His kingdom, add you to His church. And we invite you to take advantage of this great invitation that the Bible offers every man and every woman. Come now while we stand and sing.